Okay, we're gonna talk about blessing our campus through non-believer collaboration. That sounds almost weird, doesn't it? Like, what? Is there such a thing? And I'll tell you where it all starts, really, as I've thought about this, how to really talk with you guys about it. One of the things that I realized early on when I really became a Christian, when I really decided to follow Christ, specifically, when I really decided to follow Christ, gave my complete life to him and went after it, for the first few years of that, I believe there were basically two kinds of people, good and evil ones. And the good ones were the Christians, and the evil ones were everyone else. And so over time, I found out that wasn't really the case. That there are actually people that aren't evil at all. They're good people. They just don't know Jesus. And that's all. And then when you really start talking to people, you find out that almost everyone, has common desires and common needs. So, you know, there's not too many people. If you were to just walk around your campus, you know, and ask questions like, you know, don't you just wish this, you know, what's your greatest, you know, desire to see happen on this campus? You'd probably be surprised what you'd hear, you know. It would be things like, I just want to see peace. I'd like for our campus to have peace. I would like to see racism ended. I'd like to see people treated with respect and decency. I would like to see, and the list would go on, and what you would find is like, I really don't have a problem with that at all. I'm all over that. So what happens is this, and how many of you guys are at a public university? Let me ask that. Okay, so almost all of you. Okay. What happens at these public universities is obviously they're not going to say, hey, all Christians, gonna come up and do your Christian thing and we'll officially back you. But what we began to see on campus as we at the University of Tennessee particularly, was that we began to really pray about who are the people God wants to reach. And it was a little surprising because he said, well, I want you to reach out the whole campus. You hear that, you've heard a lot about that, reaching your whole campus. And that means everybody from the top to the bottom, the president all the way down. And I said, well, you know, how do you have, because you got to have conversations with people. You got to start conversations. And we have strategies, lots of good strategies on how you start conversations with students, right? But how do you start a conversation with the president of the university? What are you going to go say, you know? How do you even get in the door? I mean, and you start... How am I going to talk to department heads? And how are we going to talk to, you know, there's just a lot of people on your campus, man, that are really important. And they're the fulcrum. Some of them are very influential. And a lot of what happens on that campus is determined by those people. And so basically we just started praying and asking God how to show us how to be salt and light, and how, and you know, you guys were here yesterday, you heard the Jeremiah thing, and how God really put, that's the one thing God really put on our hearts, is the fact that we needed to understand that our welfare was tied to the welfare of our campus. And if the campus goes bad, then we go bad. It's not going to be good for any of us. If mass shootings break out on campus, that's not going to be good for any of us, right? If racism becomes permeates our campus, that's not going to be good for anybody. It doesn't matter if you're a believer or not a believer or what. It's just not a good thing. And so there are people. So what we discovered, there are, as we begin talking, even from the highest levels all the way down to students, there are a lot of people who don't know Jesus, quote unquote, but they're people of what we call good faith. We call them, and Tim Keller really coined that terminology. He says there's people of faith and people of good faith in your city. And the key is getting people of faith and people of good faith to work together for common causes and allow the love of Christ to just permeate and saturate what you're doing. And you know, they're going to hang around the pond until they fall in, basically. So that's the idea, is coming together with people of good faith. Then so you have to start trying to find out who are the people on our campus who are people of good faith, but they may not be Christians. So so what we've started doing was just, you know, you start looking at organizations on campus, different things like that. There's all kinds of organizations on campus that aren't Christian, but they're not evil organizations either, you know? And so so what we started doing was just really strategically looking at that and saying, are there ways we can work together? At the same time, God started working in this thing, dude. I'm telling you, once you get God involved in something, and once you get involved in God's plan for your campus or your city, you just better watch out, because he's going to run some end runs around you and do some things that are incredible. And so one of the things that happened was some of the students that we were in a prayer group with said, we want to just systematically start praying for all our teachers, all our professors. We want to do that, and we want to do it systematically. And so how can we do that? So we decided we'll just go and ask them, hey, you know, we're kind of like what Justin said this morning, saying kind of go knock on the door and say, hey, I just want you to know, appreciate you being here to teach and instruct, and I, as a believer in Christ, I'm part of the prayer group, and we're not trying to get you to join and believe or anything, but we would love to just be able to pray for you. How can we do that? And so we started doing that, and we started discovering we had a tremendous, tremendous response from, we had Muslims, everyone was giving us prayer requests. And in that one semester, our prayer request sheet was like 12 pages of just all faculty and staff. And so what that did, it started opening doors of conversation to where some of the students started building some relationships, even in the class, with people who were not, they didn't appear to be very evil people, they just weren't believers in Christ. So over time, we began to really sort of put a map together of like, what are some organizations we could work with? Who are some people we could work with on campus who have desires to do things similar to what we have to do? And so, and then we began to approach the administration and say, we would like to help you with some of the problems on this campus. What are the problems that you guys need help with? Because we want to help you with it. And they're like, first thing, they're going like, well, you mean like how? You know, they're a little suspicious. And we said, well, I mean like, as in, we want to be actively involved in any way we can, that you guys feel like we could be involved in any problems, issues you have. What are some of the issues? And so as we started, they started talking to us about it. And we started showing up at a lot of different things. There's a good chance your university president or whoever's in charge does a state of the university message every year to his faculty and staff and stuff. And I actually got one of a Christian faculty member to get us in. And so we got to hear that whole thing and hear just really what was going on the campus. And so then we had a really good idea of like, these are, oh, now we know where the problems are. So there were a number of issues that they were really coming to. Suicide was one of them, Chris. You know, we've really got a problem with suicide, and our counseling center is absolutely overloaded. It's overloaded, and we really need help. We started talking, and we came up with a real plan how Christian, our ministries could help them with the problem of suicide on campus. There's specific things we could do, and so we pledged to do that, committed to do it as a group of people, that we would do it as the body of Christ, that we would work on these things. Things just started popping from there. It just started opening up doors for us right and left. And before long, one of the crew, in fact, the guy that was in charge of crew on our campus, God just really gave him tremendous favor with some of the faculty and administration. And just seemed like every time he went and had a conversation, they just liked this guy. And they just, you know, he could come back and say, well, they want to do this and they want to do that. And so, in fact, and so it so exploded on him, And he started spending so much of his time doing it. Last year, he had to quit. He resigned from Crew, came back on campus under his own ministry, and it's called Collegiate Abbey. And he has, his whole ministry now is, he works with us, with all the tandem. He's part of Leaders Connect. He's working with us, and his whole ministry is just to go to the administration and be a liaison for the Christian community. Cool. And to speak into them. And they've asked him to actually lead and do some stuff on health and well-being for the, he's actually going to do a couple seminars this year for the whole faculty on just mental health and stuff like that, just emotional stability and, you know, staying. It's just amazing how God has worked in this thing. So to us, that's another way of how we're partnering with people of goodwill on our campus to see the gospel spread and the influence. And the biggest thing it's doing right now is changing perspectives. Another way, let me give you guys another thing that really, really has worked well for us, is most of you guys may have on your campus InterVarsity. How many of you guys, does everybody have InterVarsity on your campus? Yeah. I don't know if your campus does this, but InterVarsity is on our campus, is in charge of
you're talking about Urbana.
What do they do on campus? It's Veritas Forum. Veritas Forums. We started using the Veritas Forum as an intentional way to reach out to people of good faith, in particularly in the philosophy and psychology departments and the religious studies department. We just targeted those three and said, let's try to do things that would involve them. And so one of the first things that happens is, and this is what I would suggest, is if you want to start kind of discovering where people of good faith are, find out what's going on your campus. You can get your campus calendar and see what's going on and go attend those events. The guy that does Veritas on our campus, he said, well, I knew they would never come to us, and everything we do, they'll never come. So he said, so I just started going to their stuff. He said, I just made a point. I just took a whole year. Man, every time there was an event of some kind, you know, psychology department doing something, you know, anything, I went to it. And he said, and first of all, yeah.
What was the Veritas Forum?
Veritas Forum? Excuse me. I'll explain that. The Veritas Forum was started years ago by a gal up at, was it Yale?
Harvard.
Harvard.
Yeah,
that's
controlled
right.
By InterVarsity. InterVarsity.
No, I know. They just sort of steward a lot of it. It's its own entity, honestly. But what it is, it's the idea of having Christian academics, very, very scholarly people who are also believers, come and present talks on different issues.
Or debate, also debates.
Yeah. There they call them conversations. We don't call them debates. We call them conversations. Because they're real careful about slavery. They don't want it to seem like it's antagonistic. Okay. They really encourage it not to be. So. I don't remember what they call it, it's something like thoughtful dialogue between people of faith and people of good faith, something like that's what they call it. And so we sponsor those every semester. We have someone, and talk about a catalytic meeting event, every semester we have a Veritas Forum, and it'll be on things like environment, it'll be on racial issues, it can be on any number of topics. And we bring in people from Harvard and some outstanding Christian scholars and people to talk, and we usually always pick someone on the faculty to have this conversation with them. And so what's happened as a result of it in the last 3 years is that I think I told you guys that they actually asked us to help recommend some people that they could possibly bring in to guest lecture on different issues within the philosophy department, for instance, related to from a Christian worldview. That it's become, when they realized we weren't their enemies, and they started realizing, hey, these guys are really serious and they're also really good scholars, it changed their whole perception. Because a lot of these people have never worked with Christians, all they know about Christians is what they saw on TV, you know, which is not good. So it's changed perceptions. That's another way we've done it. And the whole idea is just literally seeking out. You've got to be a little proactive about it and try to really seek out the people who want to see justice served, who want to see, you know, things happen that all of us want to see. And there's I can promise you, if you went out and said, hey, would you guys rather have peace or unrest on our campus? You know, what do you think they're going to say? I mean, that's kind of not like a no-brainer. Everybody's going to say, oh, I think unrest. You know, no, they're not going to do that. So there's a lot of areas that people are thinking about that they care about, and we can intersect with them on these things. And then once you start working with them, you don't have to compromise. I mean, nobody's ever asked us to compromise our Christianity. They just, they understand who we are and what we are and what we're doing, and they're just amazed that we care. I can't remember how many of them have said to different ones of us. Our perception has always been that Christians really don't care about the environment. Our perception has always been that Christians don't really care about racism, which is really weird when you consider the whole civil rights movement was led by the church.
And Martin Luther, who was a born-again Christian.
Right, okay. Exactly. And, you know, and of course, in the latter years, it's not been led by churches. And so a lot of the civil rights movement has gone really crazy, and it's led by a lot of secular people or quasi-church people. And so just for them to even understand that we cared. On our campus, sexual assault and relational violence are huge issues. There's a lot of date rape and things like that. So we made a pledge to the university that we would teach our students about date rape protocol, and we would teach them what they're supposed to do, and familiarize them with the process of what they need to do when something happens, and if something happens, or they see something happen. So just promoting that awareness alone and showing the university that we're really interested in promoting what they care about has completely changed. Dude, I am telling you, it's a 180. And that now, if you need a space on campus, there's no problem getting it, you know? If we need whatever we need, we get it. In fact, they encourage us, they ask us this year, we're gonna do a concert of prayer on racism, a concert of prayer on racism. Actually, we're going to do a whole thing called Race Week. It's going to be in January during the Martin Luther King holiday and all that. And we've got a whole big thing planned to do. And they're just kind of letting us do it, you know, and said, if you got some speakers you want to bring in, whatever, you know, Central Planning Council could probably help with that. Some we can help with some funding on it, get some speakers, you know, as long as you just don't do an altar call, they're good, as long as you just don't do an altar call, you know. So it's really amazing. I mean, it's been amazing how this is changing the perception on campus of students and everyone toward Christians. And it's all because we just made a commitment to work with people that are outside. They're not Jesus people.
Can I ask a question, Gary?
Yes.
So in addition to kind of aligning with the university administration,
right,
and planning events that are collaborative in nature, or maybe it's like less evangelical in nature,
right,
are you also having any success working with other like organizations that are not Christian organizations,
yeah,
philanthropic organizations on,
yes,
campus? Or,
yeah.
So what does that look like?
Sometimes it looks like something like a club or an organization on campus. Like I'm thinking there's a number of like academic fraternities and things like that do almost all the fraternities and sororities on your campus do some sort of yeah, volunteer. They do some sort of social, you know, something. They do something that every year, most of them have projects, it's required of them to do it. And so, So what we try to do is go and find out what it is that they do and what they support. You know, you find, well, our project this year is like helping out with a 5K race this year for cancer. So what you do is say, well, do you guys need more students to show up? Do you guys, I mean, what's required? You know, well, yeah, man, you know, it's, I mean, we're in it, but yeah, you know, more students, the better. Things like that. So we try to get students to just come under that and work with it and just really literally sort of infiltrate it, if you will, you know, in a sense, that's what you're doing. And so so then that works, that's worked really good. And then I'll give you a great example. There's a fraternity at the Ag Campus has a fraternity called Farmhouse, the Farmhouse Fraternity. And the Farmhouse Fraternity, we helped them do something with one of their out events, and then they turned around. And this year they literally helped us with a fundraiser for the Campus House of Prayer. They sent, like, we do a thing called the Chalk Crawl, and it's a swimming fundraiser we do to raise money for the Chalk. And they sent like 10 of their frat guys down, and they all got pledges. They all went out and got pledges and swam and, you know, and actually helped us out. And they just did it. And I don't know if these guys were, honestly, I mean, the students knew more because it's a real student-led event, sort of. And so I don't know as much about what's happened yet, because we haven't had it was right at the end of school, and we haven't had time to even, like, download with a core team about it. But I know a lot of them are pretty amazed by what's going on. And it's going to open up the door for a lot of conversations, further conversations and further collaboration. So I just, yeah, this is kind of how that works. And I mean, you can see there's great examples of it in city transformation movements around the country where a lot of cities are doing this now. I know in Knoxville, I'm part of a city transformation movement as well. And we're doing a lot of that working with nonprofits and civic organizations. We just had three founded Christian foundations partner with some other non-Christian, but non-profit civic philanthropy organizations, and because we were having some shootings, and one Xavion Dobson, who made national news, Obama mentioned him in his speech and all that, it kind of catalyzed the community, and some of the people we're involved with took the lead and said, hey, we want to do something. We want to do something tangible to address this in the community. And so within 3 weeks, three of the large Christian foundations and a number of the city, including our mayor, who is a very liberal, her husband is a shaman. And she's just like, she's totally off the wire. I mean, she just, it's in a very, normally very conservative, Knoxville is very, very conservative overall, but she's not. But she also, but she does have a real heart for a number of needs in our city that need to be addressed. Yeah. So with her, with her blessing and all, this thing got put together. They already got the money and started working on it on a dream center in the inner city. It's going to be amazing. It's going to really be amazing. But and I mean that's that. But I just. What I'm saying is that if you watch, you're going to see this happening more and more. And I believe it's a real key to turning our campus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just one we're dealing with maybe more in the Northeast is there's more and more anti-Semitism in the United States,
right,
and Europe, and befriending organizations like Hillel. I actually was the residential campus representative for Friends of Israel. That's a wide open opportunity because the Jews are becoming more and more open to the gospel. I know in the New York area there are a lot of Jews coming to Christ, and we are, and sometimes the evangelical Christians are the only friends they've got, so
right,
they really appreciate when we stand with them.
Yeah, that's a great, that's another example. So I just want to encourage you, like, just keep your eyes open and see where opportunities are, because it definitely is, it's been a blessing, and to pray for them and encourage them, and you know, and it's kind of amazing when a Christian offers to pray for something that they think sort of is, well, then that's not really y'all's, do you really care? You know, sort of amazes them. And prayer is just one way, but we've tried to put feet to prayer too. That's kind of what we've tried to do. And so, So we're definitely making progress. I believe it's blessing. I know it's blessing our campus, and I know that it's blessing all of us. It's really catalyzed. It really has catalyzed our whole Christian movement on campus. It really has. I'm excited, you know, about where it's going, because we're doing some tangible. We're going to do another thing, sexual assault and relational violence, too. They've asked us to take the lead in it, so, which is amazing. So, yes.
I don't know how fast the answer to this will be, but you talked about how you had some specific things that you're working with the college about suicide. Can you say more about that?
Well, basically what's happened is that usually there's around 10 students a semester that commit suicide. I'd say 5 to 10.
Yeah.
That's pretty normal. And there's students who just die from natural causes or car accidents and things like that. So all total, there was probably, like, 1 year, when we first started the conversation, I think it was last year or the year before, there was an unusual number of high number of students who had died or killed themselves or so. So one of the things we helped them do is organize a memorial event at the end of the school every year to memorialize
That's
the
cool.
students, and that we helped them put that together, the university, because they never even thought about it. We said, why don't we do a memorial and let's read the names of these students and just, I mean, why not, you know? And so that has been amazing because they've invited the parents of these students to come to it. And last year it was just really moving. They really appreciated it, felt like they just weren't a forgotten name. And it just showed so much love. To me, it was very a loving gesture. Just ways like that, that's what we did. And the university was all over it. They're like, sure, let's do that. Like, why didn't we think of it? It was almost like that. So, yeah, just ways like that. And again, one of the things we did is we made a commitment to help our students, educate our students about distress student protocols, is what it's called on our campus. So if a student in our ministry is distressed, there's a whole protocol we can follow, because our university is fantastic taking care of its students. It's really, really, really amazing. And there's a lot of believers, a ton of believers in the health system at the University of Tennessee. So, even the guy that runs the psychology center is a believer. The counseling center,
yeah.
He's a believer. And so, it's really amazing. So, yeah, just things like that. You know, you just have to be real creative and going some places, because one of the things we found out in spiritual mapping was that students are not very involved in social issues on campus. But most of them are just like living in their Christian bubble, in their Christian thing, trying to get through school. And so you ask them, how involved are you in social and addressing social issues on campus and things? And it was just like 6%, maybe. It's ridiculous. So one of the things we just said, hey, that's not, we can't do that. That's insane. No wonder people are prepared, you know. So just encourage you guys to go explore, see where it takes you.
How big is
you'll find some unlikely allies. That's all I can say. Yeah, it's been crazy.
How big is University of Tennessee?
28,000 students. Wow.
So 10 suicides is a lot.
It's a lot. It was a lot. That I don't think that's normal. I mean, they've had a couple of times where it's been that high. I don't know what it was this last year, but we're really, I mean, of course, obviously praying about that and against that, but trying to do more tangible things as well. So this is just about doing real tangible things. That bless your community. You can't bless your campus, because you want your campus blessed.
Thank you.
That's what Jesus did, you know. All right.
Thanks, Gary.
All right.